The District Doctor by Ivan Turgenev. One day in autumn, on my way back from a remote part of the country, I caught cold and fell ill. Fortunately, the fever attacked me in the district town at the inn. I sent for the doctor. In half an hour, the district doctor appeared, a thin, dark-haired man of middle height. He prescribed me the usual sudorific, ordered a mustard plaster to be put on, very deftly slid a 5-ruble note up his sleeve, coughing dryly and looking away as he did so, and then was getting up to go home, but somehow fell into talk and remained. I was exhausted with feverishness. I foresaw a sleepless night and was glad of a little chat with a pleasant companion. Tea was served. My doctor began to converse freely. He was a sensible fellow and expressed himself with vigour and some humour. Queer things happen in the world. You may live a long while with some people and be on friendly terms with them, and never once speak openly with them from your soul. With others you have scarcely time to get acquainted, and all at once you are pouring out to him, or he to you, all your secrets, as though you were at confession. I don't know how I gained the confidence of my new friend. Anyway, with nothing to lead up to it, he told me a rather curious incident. And here I will report his tale for the information of the indulgent reader. I will try to tell it in the doctor's own words. "You don't happen to know," he began in a weak and quavering voice, the common result of the use of unmixed Berezov snuff. "You don't happen to know the judge here, Mylov, Pavel Lukich? You don't know him? Well, it's all the same." He cleared his throat and rubbed his eyes. "Well, you see, the thing happened, to tell you exactly without mistake, in Lent. At the very time of the thaws, I was sitting at his house, our judge's, you know, playing preference. Our judge is a good fellow and fond of playing preference. Suddenly," the doctor made frequent use of this word, "suddenly, they tell me, there's a servant asking for you. I say, what does he want? They say he has brought a note. It must be from a patient. Give me the note, I say. So it is from a patient, well and good, you understand. It's our bread and butter. But this is how it was. A lady, a widow, writes to me. She says, 'My daughter is dying. Come, for God's sake,' she says, 'and the horses have been sent for you.' Well, that's all right, but she was 20 miles from the town, and it was midnight out of doors, and the roads in such a state, my word. And as she was poor herself, one could not expect more than 2 silver rubles, and even that problematic. And perhaps it might only be a matter of a roll of linen and a sack of oatmeal in payment. However, a duty, you know, before everything. A fellow creature may be dying. I hand over my cards at once to Kalliopin, the member of the Provincial Commission, and return home. I look. A wretched little trap was standing at the steps with peasants' horses, fat, too fat, and their coat as shaggy as felt, and the coachman sitting with his cap off, out of respect. Well, I think to myself, it's clear, my friend, these patients aren't rolling in riches. You smile, but I tell you, a poor man like me has to take everything into consideration. If the coachman sits like a prince and doesn't touch his cap, and even sneers at you behind his beard and flicks his whip, then you may bet on 6 rubles. But this case, I saw, had a very different air. However, I think there's no help for it. Duty before everything. I snatch up the most necessary drugs and set off. Will you believe it? I only just managed to get there at all. The road was infernal. Streams, snow, watercourses, and